This is Troy Wagner.
This is Eric Miller.
We are
Ravers for Recovery.
And if you're listening to this,
so are you.
How was your day?
How was your week?
We want to hear from you. Reach out to us by email, info@raversforrecovery.org. And go ahead and connect with others in recovery by joining our Facebook page. And always stay up to date with the latest news by visiting our website, www.raversforrecovery.org.
And now, join us for this week's podcast.
Today on the Ravers for Recovery podcast, I do have one of my dear friends from Whistler, BC, Canada, Douglas Ryan. We actually met on a Friday night Insomniac Consciousness group call. So, a couple of facts about Doug. He is from Whistler, British Columbia, Canada, ski town. He does have 11 years clean and sober. His favorite festivals are Ultra, Electric Daisy Carnival, and Coachella. And the piece of information I like the best is that this man has actually met Jaws, Benny Benassi, Paul Oakenfold, Fed LeGrand, Ferry Corsten, and many, many others. You know, how's it going today, Doug?
Excellent. How are you, Troy?
Doing good. So I'd mentioned a little bit about how we met. Would you like to go into more detail about the meetings with the Insomniac Consciousness Group, since I know you have been with that group a lot longer than I have?
Yeah. Thanks, Troy. It's just amazing how music and recovery connects us all. And with what's going on in the world, I'm glad they're doing the Zoom calls, because I can connect with my fellow sober ravers and we can just be ourselves, you know. And I've been a part of that group since 2017 at EDC Vegas. And the reason is I keep going back to EDC Vegas because the consciousness group keeps me grounded, you know, when I'm at a festival. And it's just very empowering. And we're there to share the message that, you know, sure, we're in recovery, but we're not dead. We're there to experience the music in a different way. And it's and like I said, that's the reason I keep coming back. I keep coming back to the group because, you know, Pat, I don't know how to say his last
name. Ochoa, Mr. Pat Ochoa. Yeah.
Pat Ochoa, you know, I met him first. And, you know, he's one of the reasons I keep coming back, you know, because everybody knows me now. I'm like Canada. It's yeah. Like I'm the only addict up here, but it's a big myth, okay? Big stereotype up here. But that's how we met on the Zoom call, and we started chatting, and here we are, and you're interviewing me. It's just awesome.
Yeah, I've loved our conversations, you know. It was your idea actually last night to stay on a little while, you know, for anyone that was there in the meeting, if they wanted to just stay on, have a regular conversation after the meeting, you know. At the recovery meetings that I go to, you know, that's one of the most important parts, I think, because you do actually get to speak, you get the feedback from other people. And so about Insomniac Consciousness Group, how did you find them at the festival, or did you know they were going to be there and then you came there looking for them, or how did you go about meeting up with them?
Well, it's funny you say that. I went to EDC Vegas in 2013 and 14, and I stumbled upon their website or something. It was like a sober group at the festival, but I couldn't find them. I couldn't find the name. I couldn't find their tent in 2014. And I think I just walked by it. And I was frustrated in myself, and nobody really knew where it was. I asked some event staff and they're like, "What is this?" I said, "Well, we're trying to be anonymous here, but we're sober ravers and we don't want to break our anonymity." So mm-hmm. So that was a little frustrating. But then I came back in 2017. I I did a couple festivals here just out in my backyard in 2015 and 16.
At Shambhala? At Shambhala?
No, it's called the Pemberton Music Festival. It's, crazy headliners like Pearl Jam and The Killers.
Oh, okay.
Billy Idol and Tiesto played. And I called it the Coachella North because they had the dance tent, a couple live tents, live stages. Unreal. In a farmer's field, like you talk about, you know, the amazing backdrop. So that went under in 2017, and that's why I came back to EDC Vegas. And you know what? To the listeners out there, I was kind of scared to go to the tent. You know, it felt like my first meeting. And I'm so glad I did, because I was just like, well, nobody knows me, you know. But man, I connected with so many people that first year. And here I am today, still connected with the group. And it's just feels awesome. You know, I never thought in my life I'd be going to a festival clean and sober and just going for what it is. Mm-hmm. Because if I can say anything to the listener or someone in recovery, it can be done, you know. Yeah. You just have to tell yourself that you can do it, you know.
And
work a program.
And you're there. And one thing also is that you've been able to, you know, in our conversation that we had last night, I think it's very important, you know, that we do go with those like-minded people and stay with those like-minded people. But you've actually been able to go, I believe, to Ultra by yourself and stay, you know, clean and sober as well.
Yeah, and I was totally impressed with that. I was only 3 years clean and sober by then, but I just had to do it for myself. I was like the foreigner in the U.S. and I just had to be, I had to tell myself I could do it, and I did. And that's Ultra Miami. That's where my addiction started. I'm going, oh my goodness, this is unbelievable. The American festivals know what they're doing. Ultra's been around over 20 years. Insomniac over 25 years next year, apparently. So
yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Today while I was doing DoorDash, I was listening to the virtual rave-a-thons, you know, and listening to Pasquale. What an incredible guy, you know.
Oh, he's the pioneer. I just love that he, was part of the scene way back when,
yeah,
and kept with it, you know. And he just loves the culture, and it's all about the plur, you know, the peace, love, unity, respect. I just wish the world had those intentions, you know?
Yeah, especially in a time like this. They're very important, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So out of Coachella, EDC, and Ultra, which one would you say your favorite one is? I believe it. Let me take a guess at it. I'm thinking EDC Vegas.
Absolutely. Now, mind you, I've been to Coachella once. I was there in 2018, and I witnessed that Beyonce performance, and that was something else. And Coachella has something for everybody, right? There's a couple dance tents. If you want your live music, phenomenal. Phenomenal experience. A little hot, you know, in the desert, but you just got to prepare for it. I just think being clean and sober at festivals is a whole new experience, because you're in the moment, you're experiencing the music like the way it should be. You're going through emotions and feelings when you're connected to the music, you know, and for the most part, most people are there with you as well. Even for people not in recovery, do you know what I mean? Like
people that are not using, but that are not in recovery, just they go for the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go, they might have a couple drinks. That's fine, because a 3-day festival, you have to pace yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to last that last night, last stage, you know. And I learned that my very first year. I'm going, holy cow. You know, it's my yearly workout at EDC Vegas, all the walking you do and dancing.
Yeah. But
it's so worth it. worth it.
So there were times that you did go to, well, were there times that you went to music festivals before you got into recovery? And what are the biggest differences that you see between the times when you went, you know, and you were not sober, but between those times and the times now?
Well, the only really big festival I went to when I, right before I got clean, was in 2008. And this Pemberton, they had their first festival, and the headliners were like Nine Inch Nails, Jay-Z, Tom Petty, Coldplay, the Dance Tank, Crystal Method, Deadmau5 was coming up too, and just coming up, and just before he blew up, you know, in 2008. And I did some camping, and I was pretty good that weekend, but that summer 2008 was my worst summer ever. I didn't really have a job then. I was just on the path of going the wrong way in recovery. I had to, you know, get my shit together, and I'm glad I did. But I just love that festival. And now, fast forward, you know, to 2012, to 13, 14, to the big festivals. You know, I don't know how to explain it. You have to do a festival clean and sober and just really appreciate the talent that's up there and the experience. You know, I don't know if that explained it.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people, actually my sponsor being one of them, what they, you know, because there's those of us that love the music, you know, those of us that love the music that listen to it while I'm doing DoorDash, or listen to it while we're cleaning house, or even, you know, some study trance while we're studying or working or something like that. You know, we really deep down love the music. And then there's those that only went to get fucked up. You know, that was, and it's hard for them to understand that that we're now in recovery, but we still want to go to those festivals, you know, because we love it for a different reason. We love it for the music that there is, you know, and the peace, love, unity, and respect. And I guess they don't know that side of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And to add on to a little more of my story.
Yeah.
I mean, I started late going to the rave scene. I was 27, experienced my first high, let's say. And my God, that was incredible. And then I got into trance music, and I realized that I thought I needed the drugs to enjoy trance music. But here I am, 11 years clean and sober, and I don't need to, because as well, I DJ as well, and I DJ weddings, right? I DJ, okay. Like, my motto is I play the cheese to please, right? I play the top 40. Right? Yeah. Like, that's, you know, the cheese to please gets the girls dancing, right?
Yeah.
So I needed an outlet to, I've always liked electronic music since like 1992. I got into house music. I don't know why I went from like a Metallica to house music, and I haven't stopped since 92. Hmm. Right? So yeah. I started DJing in 95. So I'm 25 years in of doing weddings and everything else. Right? But you need to have your outlet of what you like. You know, for all you know, Troy, I could like country music or jazz.
Yeah.
or classical. You know what I mean? That's my other music I like. But no, I like the house music. And the
come to Cheyenne. If you, I was going to say, if you like the country, come to Cheyenne. No. You know.
No, there's enough country around here. Anyway,
yeah.
Don't want to offend anybody that likes country out there. You know, it's a huge scene too. So, yeah. But yeah, that's a little of my story. And it's just like, man, I just can't believe in 2020, I'm 11 plus years clean and sober in Whistler. As Troy said, it's a ski town. It's a party town. These big DJs come through and they love to ski and snowboard. They do a set. It's like a working holiday. So we've got a great scene here. And my dream is to host my own music festival, like maybe with bands, maybe a bit of both DJs and bands, but I think it's going to happen in Whistler, and I want to be a part of it, because when you're 11 years, you know, I could be 5 years in recovery, but you just have a vision, you just have goals, right? That's what recovery is. You just set goals now, because life is worth much living. More than it's more than just getting loaded, you know. We say it in the meetings all the time, but yeah, I think it's gonna happen.
I know in our Insomniac Consciousness group meetings, there has been the idea thrown around about eventually being a sober rave or something like that. There's so many DJs that are out there, or like some sober underground event, maybe even like that. So many DJs out there that are in recovery, you know, like Carl Cox, I read about him. Illenium is the big one that's really in recovery. Yeah. Tommy Sunshine, you know, Moby. Yeah, a lot of DJs. That's one of my goals for this podcast, you know, is get a lot of them on here. Maybe eventually it'd be cool, and then eventually have some kind of concert like that, maybe.
That would be unreal. Like that, I mean, that's a dream too. Like I wanted to do something like that here. Like, you've heard of Daybreaker, correct?
Correct. Up in New, well, it's all over the world now. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to start something here like that, and it's still on my to-do list.
Yeah.
Because I want to do it. I want to be the DJ. I want to show people that there's a different world out there.
Yeah. How close is the closest one to you, Daybreaker?
I would say Seattle. Vancouver, BC, I think has done one over the years, but more out in the East Coast, like Toronto, Ontario, I think Montreal's done them.
So early, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants to get up at 6 a.m. to do yoga.
Right. But I guess that's, you know, they say in recovery, we have to find a new way to live. So maybe I guess that's part of finding that new way to live.
You know. Absolutely.
We have one here in a couple hours from me in Boulder, Colorado. I know they do the Daybreaker event. A lot of times. Cool. So going back to 2008, you said that's when you said you had to get your ass in gear into recovery, you know. What did that look like? Did you go to treatment, or did you just do a cold turkey on your own? Or paint a picture of that.
Well,
place.
You know, it's kind of a blur. I was quickly, my story, 2006 to 2009, were the worst 3 years of my life. My stepdad died, and I was pretty much grieving 5,000 kilometers away, and I didn't know how to deal with it, and I substituted one drug for another, and, you know, my last drug of choice was cocaine, and it was that summer of 2008, and, you know, I just didn't know where my life was going, and it was just so frustrating. And my best friend pretty much gave me an intervention, asked around, you know, friends in the community, going, is Doug doing the cocaine? And you know, I had to admit to him I was doing it. And I'll never forget, he said to me, he's like, Doug, I brought you out here to ski, not to get hooked on drugs. And I'm like, yeah, I know, man, but I'm in that scene.
In too deep already, you know, yeah.
Sorry?
No, I was saying maybe at that point you're already in too deep, so it wasn't easy to just really quit. I don't know.
No, I was getting close, you know. I was starting to dip into my line of credit to buy the drugs, you know. But I have a really cool story too. Like, I just started going to meetings. I started with Narcotics Anonymous, Googled it. We had a meeting in town. I had no idea. Went to that meeting. I remember the first meeting. I cried in my first meeting. I needed help, you know, and a bunch of strangers. I didn't know anybody. It's just like, And I just kept going to the meetings and started doing service work, and I cleaned up that way. You know, I was probably one use away from going into treatment. I just know that. I just could feel it. But it's a miracle that I'm like, wow. And when I was out there, you know, I'm like, I got a problem. But you know, when you're in your addiction, you just don't know. You don't know which way your life is going, and you just don't. You have no self-worth, and you're just like, yeah, whatever. Nobody loves me, but you have to learn to love yourself at first, right? So, yeah, it was, you know, thank God for my best friend. Thank God I had a best friend that cared about me.
And that person, that friend still lives in Whistler by you?
He lives just 30 minutes away down the road, so he's close, you know. Okay. He did live in Whistler up until 2012, I think, and then moved to Vancouver and has made his way back closer to the mountains. So,
okay.
So yeah, he's got a family now and all that, and I'm happy for him. He's happy for me.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Have there been any real challenging parts, you know, since you got clean in 2008? And if so, what has been the most challenging part of recovery for you?
You know, that first year is the most challenging, when you're going to meetings and you're learning to share. I think, you know, the hardest part is admitting that we had a problem and we thought we could manage it, and you know, like it took me 6 months to figure stuff out when I was going to meetings. Like I didn't understand that alcohol was a drug too. I'm like, what do you mean? You know, I love my hockey, right? Yeah. Being Canadian, we love our NHL hockey, and I wanted to go to the bar and have a couple drinks, but not do the other drugs.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the gateway, you know? And I'm like, man, what, you know, why does it, why me? You know, I love to socialize, you know?
Yeah. But, yeah. Alcohol is a social lubricant, you know?
Oh yeah, it is, yeah. You know? And, but today, fast forward to today, you know, I will go to the local pub and I'll drink a couple non-alcoholic beers, and it won't trigger me. And it's been like that since the beginning.
Nice.
Because I had to tell myself that I need to do this because I'm a DJ. I know a lot of people and they know me, and I've inspired a lot of people in this town that, you know, I'm like, well, Doug doesn't drink. I'm like, how does he do it? And I'm like, figure it out. You know, if you need help, people will guide you to the meetings, or give you the support, or you know, we have an addiction center here. You know, you can go there, right? So, but I know a couple other DJs in town. They've quit drinking too. And I remember my buddy. I'm like, we're at the nightclub watching Mark Farina, and we're like, have a non-alcoholic beer. So I'm like, cheers, man. And he was joking. He's like, I've had my fair share over the years. And I'm like, good for you, Scotty, you know? And it's just inspiring to kind of send the message, like share the message that way, that we can still go out. We're not dead. We love the music. We have a great time.
It must be a, you know, a whole new feeling all in itself, you know, a feeling of serenity as y'all are sitting there watching a DJ, knowing that you don't have to use to enjoy, you know, and knowing that, yeah, y'all are both sober and stuff. That must be a whole new feeling, you know, awesome feeling.
Oh, it is. It's, you just really connect with the music and even the people. And you know, I go out and I like to go to good DJs, like, like I was saying, you know, I've met Ferry Corsten and Benny Benassi, and I'm like, yeah, I have connections and I get into these clubs and don't have to pay anything. And even if I do, it's like $20, right? Like my last show was March 8th here. Destructo came through. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, this is pretty good. You know, I love his music. Such a good vibe, you know?
So speaking about, you know, right now, currently the coronavirus is going on. Have you met Disinfecto yet? No, that's Pasquale, you know, Pasquale Vertella's, I guess, cleaner.
I know.
That was funny, yeah.
He's the star of the show.
Yeah. So probably what a lot of listeners want to know when they hear that you've met all of these DJs is, same thing I want to know, is do you have any tips on how to meet them? Do we have to be in Whistler to meet them? Or just, yeah, what kind of tips do you have for that? Because I think that's, I think that's incredible. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, you have to know the promoter, and I know the promoter who's doing these big shows, and if, you know, I don't need to meet them all. Like, sometimes you want to get a picture with them and they get enough, but sometimes a handshake is good enough. You know, when I met Gareth Emery, I'm like, hey man, that was such a good show, and there's like 100 people at the club, you know, and Gareth Emery came and took pictures with the fans, and I chose not to. I'm just like, man, what a cool guy, you know?
Yeah.
And guys like Jaws, I have a friend in town who's mentally challenged, and the night before the show, the promoter talked to Jaws, and I'm like, hey Cody, can Christian meet Jaws because he's a huge fan? And Cody talked to Dawes, awesome, and his tour manager, and they're like, absolutely.
Wow.
And for me, that felt amazing. This is all about Christian meeting Jaws, and I got to meet him briefly too, and we're up there in the VIP watching him do his thing, and I'm going, this is just incredible. I'm so blessed and so fortunate to be in such an awesome town, and Jaws even said he wants to come every year and snowboard, and maybe one of these years I'll go up the mountain with him and show them around.
Wow.
You know, like how cool is that? And then that's and a lot of these DJs are pretty humble, you know, they have to be.
That's what I was picking up on, that they're really humble. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you just got to know the right people. It's who you know, right? That's the saying. But awesome. You could be in a big club in your city as well, and when the music ends, you know, it's up to the DJ to come and take pictures with the fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know Richie Houghton, I think, did that in Vancouver. Cosmic Gate as well. When I saw them,
yeah,
it took some pictures at the very end. So yeah,
awesome. That's cool. Sounds like a great place to visit. You know, see a show.
It is. It's a good lifestyle up here.
Expensive, I've heard. But so do you think, you know, that if you're not, well, yeah, do you think your interactions with those DJs has been a lot better, or that you've, you know, been able to have better conversations with them since you are in sobriety? Like, if you were there all drunk and stuff, I know you probably wouldn't have been able to have maybe half the people that you have met or actually had a conversation with them.
No, absolutely. If I was the person out there partying, there's no way I would have been able to meet them, because the promoter would have been like, oh my God, get away, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but when you're mature and responsible and you've had a good time and you're like, you know, you just got to ask a question, you know, to the promoter. I'm like, hey, can I meet him? And yeah, like I said, we're just so lucky in this town.
Yeah.
And on another note too, like, we had the 2010 Olympic Games here, and we had Armin van Buuren play here. at one of our nightclubs, holds 350 people. It's like $100 at the door. I had a ticket for $50 and I had to work. And I was so frustrated. I'm like, Armin van Buuren in a small club, what a dream, right? And there were so many big DJs that came through the Olympics, you know, during the Olympics here. And before that, we had some big DJs come through. And it's so nice that these big DJs are coming through again. And they're doing the patio parties and they want to be here. And they're obviously taking a pay cut, because when you're playing to, you know, 100 people, 350 people, you're not making your festival wage. You know what I mean?
No, or your Las Vegas nightclub wage. Like Cascade, $50,000 a show or whatever he makes. You know,
I know you're lucky to make. I think Paul Oakenfold, he comes every year pretty much, and I think he does a patio set for $2,000 to $3,000 probably. You know, but we treat him good.
and he loves being up there. So
he's a big skier too. So that's why he comes back every year. Pretty awesome.
So this being the Ravers for Recovery podcast, what would you like to tell anyone who is listening to this and currently struggling with addiction or alcoholism?
Well, for the listeners, I never thought in a million years that I would be able to do a festival clean and sober and be 11 plus years clean right now. You just got to give yourself a chance. You know, there's a reason we say one day at a time, right? And one day at a time turns into 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 25 years, you know? Work your program, go to your meetings, connect with certain people. It's like you, Troy, it's kind of like our first Insomniac Zoom call. We kind of connected there, and I just, you know, you don't connect with everybody in recovery, but you just find your people, right? You find, and it doesn't have to be a sponsor, it's just like-minded people. And here's you and I, Troy, talking about dance music, and it's just, it was kind of meant to be, I guess, you know. It's pretty powerful. So
yeah, so
I guess my message,
so
anyone struggling, you know, it can be done. I was in a meeting last week, a Zoom meeting, and I shared my story, and I think that girl was 7 months sober, and she's like, it's amazing you do the festival sober. And I'm like, yes, because there's a serious movement going on, and there's going to be more of us, and we might have that sober rave someday.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, you know? So there's a Facebook group, Chicago Hope Dealers, and I spoke to them. Their Facebook group is like 10,000 members or something. I spoke to them, and that's one thing that they had in mind that they want to maybe do in the future is a sober rave. I haven't put them in touch with Pat Ochoa yet, but I think all of us like-minded people come together. You know, I don't know if it would bring that many people, but it might. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, you don't know unless you try it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what the outcome will be, because I've been criticized about doing my, you know, kind of daybreaker kind of theme here.
Yeah.
Like, do a morning party, and I'm like, yeah, well, don't tell, like, it's not going to cost me a lot of money to do, like, to rent the room, maybe $50, you know, like, whoop-de-doo.
Okay.
So.
Awesome.
But I'm doubting everybody, you know?
Definitely appreciate you recording this episode with me, you know, and for coming on the show, and also for our conversations, you know. My mind's been going through a lot lately, and you've been there as one of the people that I am able to reach out to, so it means a lot.
Thanks, Troy. Appreciate that, you know. I'm glad we chatted last night a little more and did a FaceTime, and here we are today with the interview, and I'm happy to do it. So,
do you know how long those Friday night meetings will be going on, or no, or not yet? I'm not sure myself. But
you know what? I think those meetings are going to go on until we're back to semi-normal life.
Okay.
When we can meet in person, you know, it's going to go on for a few months, I think.
All right. And one thing that I will do in the go ahead and do in the show notes of this episode is to leave the link to the meetings, and that's so that is the Insomniac Consciousness Group meeting every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So whoever's listening to this and you want to jump on that, you shall do so. But yeah,
it's a great meeting, everybody. We it's different than your normal meetings, and we talk music and we talk about recovery, and we pretty much inspire each other.
Yeah. Well, awesome, Doug. I want to thank you again, and you have a great night.
Thanks, Troy, for having me on.
Thank
you. And
you
as well.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another episode of the Ravers for Recovery podcast. I am Troy Wagner.
I'm Eric Miller.
And we are Ravers for Recovery. And if you listen to this, you are too. Go ahead and join the Facebook group, which is growing quickly. You'll find that with keyword Ravers for Recovery. Also, make sure to check out the website. A lot of cool info on there. That's at ravers4recovery.org. Until next time, again, we are Ravers for Recovery.